on the phone with Matt. Hello, once again, here I am in flesh and blood. Well, actually, I'm in digital audio format. Yeah, I don't know. I was listening to a podcast earlier today that I love. Everything's Fucked podcast. At first I thought, fuck getting into the book. I want to judge this by the cover. Because the name, Everything's Fucked podcast. Yeah, I agree. Like, already we're on the same level, right? We're already on the same wavelength. So I started listening to it, and it's actually a really entertaining show, and everybody should check it out for sure. Tune in. So they were talking about depression, anxiety, shit like that, mental health. And I thought now would, you know, I guess be a good time, as good a time as any, to talk about my own. And I know this isn't really a subject that draws a lot of people in, I guess. A lot of people want to shy away from it because even still today in 2021, it's still, I mean, we're light years ahead of where we were just a couple years ago with mental health awareness, I guess, and finally acknowledging that it's a problem and it needs to be addressed in so many people of all ages, races, creeds, like humans in general are just emotional as fuck. And sometimes in denial about it. So in talking about it, even if just one person hears this and it maybe relates to their life and maybe they can think, you know, they're not alone. That's what I'm really hoping for. Because I know from experience that mental health is a very fickle creature. You know, like sometimes you just feel like you are the only one. Nobody else feels like this. And certainly you hope that nobody else would feel like that. But, you know, millions of people do every day. And it sucks. There's no explanation for it, really, in some cases. You can wake up one day and just be in a terrible funk. Why? Did you dream something that you don't remember dreaming that set your mood for the day? Like, what was it? Or you could wake up in a good mood. I mean, your brain just really doesn't make sense sometimes, you know? For as perfect as it's supposed to be. I guess really it isn't, right? It runs this complicated machine that is our body, and it's still imperfect. So I actually started seeing a therapist in high school, probably 97, I guess, right around 97. And at that time, I didn't know how to express myself. I didn't know how to talk about what was going on. And the school therapist was not helping in that matter. She would ask me questions and stuff, but she didn't, like, stop me when I would start rambling on and on about goofy, stupid bullshit, just trying to not open up, I guess. And maybe I didn't know how to that way at that time. Most definitely, I would say. I think I used that as an excuse just to get out of class once a week. I don't know. That and the therapist was insanely hot. Everybody had a crush on her. So, it wasn't until maybe, I don't know, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there, I went to see my doctor, and while I was waiting for him in the room, I looked over at this pamphlet, and it said something about, "Are you depressed?" And I opened it up and took the little test. No, that's not right. I opened it up and read about it. And I said something to my... it said something like, "Are you getting too much sleep or not enough sleep?" And I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, those are like kind of the only two of the only three options there are, you know? Like, are you not getting enough sleep or too much sleep or just enough sleep? You're depressed. They do that just to sell medication. That's all it is. Yeah. Well, regardless of the reason, I actually was depressed. I told my doctor, and he said he would give me a little test. He left the room for a minute so I could do it. It was just one side of a piece of paper, maybe, I don't know, 10 questions or something. And of them all, I answered like yes to probably 8 of them, whatever it was. So I gave it back to him, and he looked at it, and he was like, "Wow, you're really depressed." And I was like, "Really?" I didn't really realize it, you know? Like, I just kind of didn't even think about it. But it was true. I was totally depressed. I mean, well, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, so he put me on Lexapro, and it was a trial, like a month trial or something, or a week, or I can't remember. But I have right out, no, it was a month trial. But after the first week of taking it, I went to the bar, and I had 2 bottles of light beer, went home, ate dinner, and the next day I woke up and I felt like I had headbutt a train going full speed. My head was just killing me. And I'm like, man, I loved to drink back then. So that kind of sucked, but then when my insurance picked it up, it went to the generic form, and that actually let me drink while taking it, even though you're not supposed to. But, I mean, you know, I was washing the pillow down with beer. And from then on, I guess for 4 or 5 years, I took that, and then somehow I lost my doctor and I couldn't get refills. So I was like, stop taking them abruptly, cold turkey. And that's not how you want to do meds like that. They fuck with your brain chemistry. I mean, your brain gets used to that, and then all of a sudden you take it away. Like, your brain doesn't know what to do. You go through some shitty withdrawals. You know, your mood swings get real bad. You can suffer vertigo, dizziness, like nausea, blurred vision. Man, it can get bad. And that's what I went through for a while until I just, finally got it through, or my system got used to it again. Got used to being off of it, I should say. So that's when the depression really hit me. And that's when I realized, like, man, I guess I really was depressed. But at the same time, I didn't feel like the medicine had helped entirely. It helped enough, but it didn't help entirely. So being off of it for a couple of years was terrible. I remember one night, I was just having one of those bad depression days, and we had a love seat in the back of the house, and I just laid on it. Excuse me. I laid on it face down in a pillow, and I was pressing my head into the pillow as hard as I could, because the thoughts that were going around in my head that I could not grasp onto, that whirlwind, that tornado of a million thoughts, and just trying to latch onto one of them is like fucking impossible. And that's what was going on, like max speed. It was just tearing me up. And that was the worst I've ever had it. And my wife, she came to me and she was like, "Is there anything I can do?" And I said, "No, not unless you can find me some weed, because I feel like that's, at this point, that's the only thing that's going to help me. Just smoke a bowl and try to mellow out a little bit, kind of freeze my brain if I can, just to slow the thoughts down." But at that point, we had no money, and I had no connections, and I was not in the right mind frame, I guess. I was not well enough to actually call around and find out, even if it was for something that would help me. But then I'd, of course, have to go get it, and driving at that point was impossible. And I was like that for a couple hours, pressing my head into this pillow, wishing for death. That right there was enough that I thought about why it was I don't own a gun and still don't. Because when those moments come around, I would totally eat a bullet. And I know that. And I don't want to. So, for my own life, I will not own a gun. I'm not sure how I made it out that night, but I guess things kind of cooled off a little bit. I can't remember. I try to forget about it. So, I also suffer from anxiety. Right now, it's really bad. Panic attacks. Because of the pandemic. And not even because of the pandemic so much, it's the people who don't want it to end. The people who just want to go back to doing their daily lives as if nothing happened. You can't do that. You have to. You can't just ignore a pandemic because of your freedoms. I don't get it. This the vanity of these people who are so smarmy and just arrogant about being total assholes. That's what really makes it bad, you know? And then looking around at, you know, I go to these certain businesses and none of the employees have a mask on. None of the other customers have. I'm the only one in the store that has a mask on. Like, you people are just fuck. And this was like during the damn pandemic in 2020 when it was like the worst. And it just makes me sick. You know, these people don't give a fuck about anybody but their own lives, their own extravagancies. No matter how extravagant, that's what it is. These people don't want to give up getting their hair cut or going out to lunchtime coffee with friends. You know? Fuck it. There's a pandemic. I gotta go get my hair trimmed. What would everybody think? So now I have anxiety. Like, I mean, I've had it for a long time, but now I have it worse. I mean, now it's just terrible. I do not want to leave the house ever. And I would be totally fine with that, to be honest. You know, get rid of my car 100%. Cut up my license. Get a regular ass state ID. If I need to go anywhere, I'd Uber there. Fuck it. I don't care. I don't want to go outside at all. I don't want to drive. I used to love driving. I feel like if I leave the house, I'm going to die. Somebody's going to give me COVID, and if I get COVID, I'm dead. I meet all of the qualifications. I'm obese. You know, they can't just say fat. I'd rather be called fat than obese. I'd rather be called fat than morbidly obese. But no, they just keep creating worse and worse terms for it. I have asthma, you know, I'm diabetic. Like, it sucks. It really sucks. I miss going out. But to keep me and my family safe and other people safe potentially, you know, I'm going to wear my mask. I'm vaccinated. I social distance if I can. I wear my mask when I can. When I don't forget it. It just happened the other day. Like, fuck, it's been over a year now. Almost 2 years. Man. So, yeah, people are disgusting. So I'm always going to wear a mask now. No matter what. Which you should do anyway. Whether you're vaccinated or not. Just the fucking arrogance. Ugh. So yeah, there's the anxiety there. I also have paranoia really bad. And the only time I'm not really paranoid is when I'm high, which is the complete opposite of how it's supposed to go. That's why I need to be a marijuana, like medical marijuana patient, because it keeps the anxiety down a lot. It keeps the paranoia down a lot. It keeps the depression down a whole lot. You know, it's like the miracle drug. And it's not a drug, it's a fucking plant. It's got psychoactive, fuck off. Yeah. So anyway, I'll get into that in a minute, but Yeah, I'm gonna take a little break. I gotta get something to drink. I have a cup here, but I keep sipping on it. My mouth is a little dry. I got cotton mouth. I'll be right back. Welcome back to On the Phone with Matt, talking about mental health. And right before the little break there, I mentioned that I got paranoia, and I do. It's pretty bad, you know, especially right now. I mean, for a very long time, I've thought that there are cameras everywhere. Like before Google Maps had satellite view of the top of your house, there was always this thought in my head, and I'm talking since I was probably 16, 17, 18 years old, the mid to late 90s. I thought that every time I went outside or whatever, I was being tracked. I was being seen by somebody somewhere. You know, not just with cameras, but people in their house looking out their windows at me. People driving by looking out their car windows at me. Then when I started driving, if I pulled up to a, you know, stoplight and somebody pulled up next to me at the stoplight or even behind me, I always felt like they were all watching me, just staring at me. Yeah. I hate going to stores and trying clothes on there. Because I feel like security has a camera watching you, and I know that's illegal and they can't do that, but that doesn't stop people from doing weird, creepy shit. At night, I absolutely 100% have to have the curtains closed on the windows, because if I can't see out, if somebody is looking in, I can't handle that. Can't do it. I mean, I always feel watched. Totally. And it's ridiculous, too. I mean, it is literally to the point where I've often fantasized about having my own island where just me and my wife could live with our pets and just not be bothered by anybody. And I saw once that this island, this big-ass island in Canada, is for sale. I think it's Devon Island. I guess. David Island, one of the two. There's nobody on it at all. And it's kind of desolate there, which is why nobody wants to live there and why nobody does live there. Because it's so cold. It's like the northern part of Canada, which is right next door to, like, you know, the North Pole. So you would have to be, like, prepared for that. You have to know that you're getting into that kind of shit. And you have to be able to deal with it. Because the island was selling kind of cheap, you know, for, considering it's an island and it's humongous. It's damn near its own little continent, really. So, I think, like, NASA was going to the island to test things out because the island had the same atmospheric conditions as, like, outer space or something because it's so fucking cold. Yeah. So you also, if you move there, you have to contend with NASA being on your continent island all the time. I don't think they'll bother you, though. But if I lived there, you know, or somewhere similar, and I was the only person there, I would have to close the blinds at night still. because somebody would be outside of the window looking at me. That's how I would feel all the time. Yeah, it's that bad. And it sucks. I hate it. But I've been this way right now most of my life. My last therapist I saw told me I have PTSD from something that happened when I was a kid that I've carried with me this whole time, you know? And I mean, I've talked about it before. It's not like a super big secret or anything. But I never even considered that it would be like PTSD, you know, traumatic. And it was. And that explains a lot of the shit in my life, mental health wise. So, I have gone all this time, except for those couple of years where I had to quit cold turkey, taking medications. And I've had some that made me like a zombie, you know? I've had some that were like nothing was happening at all. I've had some that had really bad side effects. And, you know, I mean, I've tried a bunch. And when I finally found a combination that worked, I stayed with it, but it still wasn't like 100% effective. And I get that there's a lot of medicines out there that are not 100% effective at mental health because everybody has different mental health problems. And it's hard to just get a pill that gets it right, you know? So you have to try. And in that vein, there is this new test out called the GeneSight test. And what they do is cotton swab or like Q-tip swab your mouth, your cheek, inside of your cheek, and get some spit on there, some of your DNA. Then they send it in a little envelope to Mason, Ohio, which is like, you know, 45 minutes away from me right now. And the company that created this GeneSight test will analyze your genetic code, I guess, and they will determine what the medication is good for you versus what is bad for you. And they'll give you a printout. And you can look at it and see what is supposed to work best for your genetic makeup. I thought it was a great idea. So I had it done. And it was a little overwhelming. I mean, they gave me these results that, like, I thought it'd be like, you know, here's the top three things that might work for you. Or here's the one thing that might work for you. Now, they gave me a list that was like 20 medicines. These will work for you. Now just pick one. No, I can't do that. Not quite, you know? So I decided to try a couple of different things. I'm on bipolar medicine. I'm on antidepressant, antipsychotic, and something else. I'm not entirely sure what it does, but right now I'm good. And how this came to be was the GeneSight test results. I started these new medications and they started working pretty good, but I talked to my doctor about it and he's actually, like, he studied mental health because he himself has depression. So he had all kinds of info for me that, like, these apparent professionals didn't tell me. And one of the things was this GeneSight test does not find out what your genetic makeup is and pairs you with that for good mental health results. What it does do is find out what medicines will metabolize in your system quicker or better, what you're going to get the most benefit from. That's what they test for. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for your particular mental health problem. So really, what good is the test? So essentially, if you want to find out, go ahead and do it. Especially if your insurance will cover it. Mine did. Otherwise, I wouldn't pay for it to get done. Find yourself a good mental health doctor or psychiatrist or whoever, therapist, somebody who's going to help you get on the right stuff and make sure that you keep at it until you find what works. And let me tell you something, I have been doing this for a long time where I thought, well, yeah, this is better than what it was, so it's working. But I was never happy. I was just kind of surviving. I was just going through the motions. I was phoning it in constantly. I wasn't suicidal anymore. That was about it. I wasn't getting these huge depression episodes anymore, but I still got depressed from time to time, And I just figured that was normal. That was like, I was finally living the life of a normal person, so to speak. And then my doctor said to me one day, he was like, if it's just better than it was, which is a good song, by the way, from Fastball, he said, if it's just better than it was, then it's not doing its job. You're not good. Don't you want it to work like completely? And I was like, you know what? I do. I would like to know what it's like to be happy. Because right now, I honestly don't remember. And I know right now somebody's thinking, well, doesn't your wife make you happy? Well, yeah, of course. That's not so much the issue. Things make me happy, but I've never just been happy on my own. I've always had just this depressive order, disorder, that just kept me in a funk all the time, even when the pills were lifting me up just enough to keep me from wanting to slit my throat. So he rearranged my medicine for me. The one medicine I've been taking for a few years now, he upped it. He like doubled it. He switched out my bipolar medicine for another better one. And I think that's the only change he made. And oh my God, it's unbelievable. I am actually happy. I'm not a zombie. I'm not overly happy, I still get a little, like, I still get into these moods sometimes where I just don't want to be bothered. But that's not, I can deal with that. That's not something that I think is very mentally like an issue, I guess. But other than that, I'm actually happy and I feel happy on the inside. That's what's like really just kind of killing me. Like, this is what I've been missing out on for like 30 years. More than 30 years. I'm betting the last time I was happy was before I was 6 years old. Truly happy. When I had no cares in the world because I didn't know anything. And now I'm happy again. And it helps that I'm in a good spot now with my wife. And the medicine is doing its thing, which is fantastic. And I want you to know that this depression thing is totally your brain working against you. But you control it, okay? Which is not true. It actually controls you. But you know better. I have been suicidal so many times, and I'm still here because a few reasons. One, I don't own a gun. And for some reason, that's the only way I'll do it. You know, like, in high school, when I first tried, I just swallowed a ton of pills. And it didn't work, obviously. Thanks for the update, dude. But, you know, and then one day I told my mom, like, one day shortly after it happened, I told my mom that I tried to kill myself, and she laughed. She doesn't remember doing it, and that's fine. But, yeah, she laughed. So, and she's apologized for it. She said she doesn't remember it, but she was sorry. So, I kind of feel like I'm not going to try the pill route again, you know? I'm not going to bleed out. I'm not going to cut myself. I hate being cut. No, I'm going to just not even think about it. Put the gun in my head, pull the trigger. That's it. Done. I'm not suffering anymore. So that's why I won't own a gun. And that's another reason why I haven't killed myself, because I just don't have access to a gun. So I also think about my wife to get me out of that mood. I focus on her because she is truly, well, at least back then, I mean, now I'm happy, which is great, you know, but back then she was really the only source of happiness for me. And I know how devastated she would be if I were to leave her like that or in any way. And I couldn't do that to her. I could not bring her that pain purposefully. So that's what keeps me above water right now. And I'm okay with that. You know, I have a good reason. And that is a good reason. Even if I feel like my life is worthless and that she would be better off, I know that she would not be better off because her heart is with me and my heart is with her. So, if there's anything you have, any kind of hope for anything, if you have any kind of interest and you want to pursue it, do it. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out. Not everybody is going to come to you because people don't do that. If they don't know, they're kind of blind to it. Sometimes it takes a special person to just see all the clues and pick up on it, you know? you have to understand that about people and not get pissed off when somebody isn't asking if you're okay or somebody doesn't seem concerned. Nobody seems concerned. Nobody cares. Nobody's thinking about you. I know those thoughts well. You know, you have to fight through those too. If you need to talk to somebody, talk. Find somebody. Seriously. You have to know somebody. And if you want to talk to me, man, send me an email. I've been there. I've done that. I know what it's like. If you need to talk, if you need some kind of inspiration to like keep going, you know, if you just need to vent and don't need any advice, you just want to get something off your chest, onthephonewithmatt@gmail.com. Send me an email. But trust me, things can turn around for the better. I know this. And you may have heard it before, but I'm going to say it again. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You could hit the lottery tomorrow. Your life could completely flip upside down in just a couple hours. If you take yourself away from that, how would you know if it ever gets better or not? You don't. Tomorrow's a new day, man. Seriously. Stay with us. You only get one chance at living. Live a little bit. Do that thing you want to do. Lift your spirits up. You have to, you know, you have to tackle the demon that is holding you down and figure out what you need to do to lift up again. So, with that said, I'm going to call it a night. I'm very tired, ready for bed. This is the end of Monday. I'm looking at the time right now. It's 11:56 p.m. Monday night. By the time I get this uploaded, it will be Tuesday. So I'm on schedule this week. I know. It's just the beginning of the week. Wait a minute. No, Friday. Oh, my God. Jesus. That's how messed up I am, y'all. It is 11:56 p.m. Thursday night, almost Friday. There we go. So I'm not on time this week. I'm on time today. We'll see about next week, all right? With that said, y'all have a good weekend. Please, again, if you need to talk to somebody, do it. Get the meds worked out with your doctor. Do something. You deserve to be happy. Peace.